Darkness is not an affirmative force. It simply reoccupies the space vacated by the light.
This is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
It should be uncomfortable for a believer to live as a hypocrite.
Delivering people out of the bondage of mainstream media
and the philosophies of this world.
God has called you and me to be his ambassadors, even in this dark moment. Let's not miss our moment.
And now, the Hamilton Corner.
It is great once again to be sitting in for Abraham Hamilton III. I'm his host tonight, Bishop E.W. Jackson, and grateful for the opportunity to come before you and to sit in for him. Thank you all, as always, for your prayers, for your support. I want to say thank you all for your support for the Standard Awards dinner. The complimentary tickets are all gone, and we really look forward. I really look forward to seeing some of our AFR listeners there. The event is pretty much all set. We are only 6 days away. But it's going to be a magnificent event. For those of you who are coming, believe me, you will not be disappointed. I guarantee you will not be disappointed, not because of me, but because of all the wonderful guests and the things that we have on the program. So thank you all. Glad to have you. My thanks to American Family Association and AFR for supporting this great event. Well, the madness does not seem to abate, at least not yet, but we have to stay in the fight. I'm thinking at the moment, and I've got a couple of scriptures I want to share with you because I think they are really relevant to what we are facing. But I'm thinking at the moment about the protests at the synagogue where was this? I think it was on 96th Street in New York City, right outside of a synagogue. The left just went crazy and once again, you know, started basically acting fools, disrupting, disorderly, fighting with the police in effect. And yet no one was arrested. And the police themselves put out a statement that the protest was orderly. Now, we know what that is, right? We know that's Zoran Mandami. That's what that is. And the thinking about that lie, because I saw what the protest looked like because they had it on video. I mean, it was a mess. And it's amazing. One police officer was sent to the hospital. And yet, the police department put out a statement, meaning that the person who Mamdani has chosen to be their spokesperson put out a statement undoubtedly approved by the mayor that said it was an orderly protest. You got yet one cop in the hospital. He wasn't put in the hospital by other cops. But that's what they put out. And it's sad that the police have to be captured by this lawless socialist who really is an enemy of the police. He sees no use for police officers because, like most Marxists, he believed that police officers are simply a tool of the petite bourgeois or the bourgeoisie. And the capitalists and the owners of the means of production, and that they are enemies of the people because that's who they actually work for. I mean, that's the Marxist analysis. And he is a Marxist. I mean, he's a self-declared socialist, let there be no doubt. That's the way he thinks about the police. And he basically puts up with them because he knows he can't just wholesale fire them. I mean, he'd be driven out of office. So he basically makes, you know, little homages and gives a little lip service here and there. But he has no interest in the police officers, their safety, what they need in order to do their jobs. He has no interest in that whatsoever. And I guarantee you, every right-thinking cop in New York heard that statement. It was an orderly protest and just went, oh, brother. I mean, how could you even tell that bold-faced lie? There was nothing orderly about it. But, you know, thinking about the things I've been sharing with you just over the last several days and the incessant lying. I mean, the lying without pause, without hesitation, just bold-faced, unadulterated lying. Well, here's another one. not to mention the rampant hatred and anti-Semitism. I thought about the fact that you remember we used to always be told that, you know, liberals were compassionate and caring and conservatives were cold and mean and liberals were tolerant and conservatives were intolerant. Remember that? And that was another bold-faced lie. It was exactly the opposite. Conservatives were the ones who said, hey, leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Live and let live. I'm not trying to run your life. Don't try to run mine. And it was the liberals who were constantly trying to get the levers of government to tell you how to think, how to speak, and how to act. And by the way, and to crush anybody who dared disagree with them. They're the ones who have constantly done that. Conservatives have not done that. But yet we were called intolerant. And they're the tolerant ones. Yeah, we see just how tolerant they are. But look, here's the verses that I'm thinking about. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 9 and 10. I know you're familiar with it. But it says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. You know, either you love the truth or you hate the truth. Either you are the friend of the truth or you are an enemy of truth. You know, there's no neutral ground in this. Because if you really believe that there is such a thing as truth, and you really believe what Jesus said about it, you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free, then you have to be an advocate for truth. And if you don't believe any of that, then you have to debunk all of that and all of the truth that stands behind it and do nothing but promote lies constantly. And that is exactly what the left of the Democrat Party is doing, or the Democrat Party. They're promoting lies about the president. They're promoting lies about our country. We just had the referendum here in Virginia. It was just ribbed. Even the judge, and by the way, so far the Supreme Court has upheld the lower court decision, even the judge said that the referendum was intentionally deceptive. The judge said it was intentionally deceptive, meaning that it was a euphemistic way of saying they lied to you. You lied to the people of Virginia. This is a constant theme. I guess one could say that is the essence of what a cult is. A cult is an organization that is built on lies, often one big lie and many, many lies to support the big lie. And that's exactly what we've got. But this is how the Antichrist will come into power. He will come into power because people loved lies and hated truth. And he is going to be the consummate liar. And they will love him for it. It says he will come with all unrighteous deception. In other words, he will be the master deceiver. And they will be deceived because they didn't love the truth. They didn't want God. They didn't want salvation. They wanted the lie. And that's exactly what we've got going on, sadly, in our country today. Here's the other scripture. And again, what that tells us is that that is a precursor to the arrival of the Antichrist. The spirit of Antichrist, the Bible says, is already here. But the actual person, who is the Antichrist, the anti-anointed one, the anti-Jesus one. This is how he comes in. He comes in on a inglorious cloud of lies and deception. And then the second scripture I was thinking about was John 5:42. Jesus is speaking to his opponents when he says, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. These people do not have the love of God in them. You know, when I say that, I think about the family, an unsaved family, that seems to be relatively normal, seems to be living a decent life. They're not out committing crimes. They're not doing horrible things, but they're not believers. You say, well, is it really fair to say that they don't really love? Let me tell you something, folks. This is the truth. Without God, people don't really know how to love. Now, the reason why they can approximate and behave themselves in a way that makes it look like they are loving to the fullest is that every human being is still made in the image and likeness of God. And the vestiges of our Creator are still in us. I mean, His imprint is still on us, even if you're unsaved. His imprint is still on you. Human beings work very, very hard to try to get that imprint off of them and to behave more like animals than like the human being made in the image of God that they were made to be. But nevertheless, His imprint never leaves the human being. And so human beings can often be capable of approximating what it means to live a righteous life, even without God in their lives. The problem is that it's all superficial. The problem is it's all in the flesh. It can't be because their spirits are dead. It can't be anything else. Their spirits are dead. That's why we've heard from the left all this, oh, the compassion, the caring, and the love. And yet we watch them, just here in Virginia, a guy who raped a 13-year-old girl was released. ICE begged them, please, please, allow us to arrest him if he is released. Allow us to arrest him at the jail so that he does not get back on the streets to wander. They did just the opposite. They put the man right back out on the street. Now, do you have the love of God in you when you can do such things, knowing that you put at risk every young girl within geographical reach of this monster? ICE did finally get him, but they had to track him down because Fairfax County authorities simply wouldn't cooperate in getting this man detained. And he is a convicted felon, and there's plenty of evidence that he actually raped an underage girl. But he's an illegal alien and he doesn't belong here. So instead of allowing ICE to grab him up and get him off the street, nope, they put him right back onto the street. They don't have the love of God in them, because if you had the love of God in you, you would be thinking, I can't allow somebody to go back out there and do to another young girl what this young man has already done. I can't allow him to go back out there and do it again to another young girl. We've got to make sure that that cannot happen. They don't think that way. Because two things, they're deceived and they don't have the love of God in them. The way Jews are being treated in this country today, I never thought I'd see anything like this. And again, as conservatives, we've been accused of being haters. I just found out, I think I shared this with you all not too long ago, that the Southern Poverty Law Center considers me to be a hate figure. We, American Family Association, all of us, you know, we're haters, they say. But they're the ones out attacking and vilifying the Jewish people, and we're the ones defending them. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson. I'm in for Abraham Hamilton III here on American Family Radio. Stand by. We'll be back in a moment with more.
A Discipleship Minute with Joseph Parker.
Psalm 119 verse 105 tells us your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In all of life, one of the single most fruitful habits is that of reading God's word every single day. And I like to encourage believers to set a goal of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day. It might be 3 different chapters, or it might be the same chapter 3 times over, but spending time in God's word will bless your life in ways you don't fully comprehend. God's word ministers to your mind, body, and spirit in a way that no one else or nothing else can. And remember, the word of God is pregnant with the ability to bless you. It's full of light, full of grace, full of peace, power, and joy. I would challenge and encourage you to start the habit of reading 3 chapters a day today. And also, parents, I would encourage you to start the habit of having your children, each of them, to read 3 chapters in their Bible every day as well. It's a habit that'll bless your whole family.
Shining light into the darkness, this is the Hamilton Corner on American Family Radio.
Well, given that diagnosis, it couldn't come at a better time. May 7th, tomorrow, is the National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer. Now, I will not be with you here tomorrow, and so I am going to take a moment and say a word of prayer today in behalf of our nation. So, because, again, when lies prevail and capture the hearts of people, and when the love of God is rejected for hatred and division and tribalism and black against white and men against women and rich against poor and you name it, go right down the line. That is a formula for societal suicide, folks. That's what that is. It's a formula for societal suicide. And again, the attitude has got to be, in my view, better to reign in hell than have to serve. Serve in heaven. That was in John Milton's Paradise Lost. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. In other words, I don't care what the condition of the country is, I think the left says, as long as we control it. We can have COVID, we can have inflation, we can have crime running rampant, we can be overrun by illegal aliens, we can kill an untold number of unborn babies, we can confuse our children, we can have the schools indoctrinating kids and separating kids from their parents. All of that is quite all right with us as long as we are in control. And the rest of us are saying, no, that is a dystopian society. That is Psalm 917, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. That is a hellish nation. But I think the left would be happy to preside over it, hellish as it might be, as long as they are the ones presiding. Think about this. I said, why did Satan rebel in heaven? Heaven was a perfect environment, absolutely perfect, nothing whatsoever wrong. What was his problem? It boils down to one thing, that he didn't run it. That was the problem. That he wasn't in charge. And it didn't matter how good it might be. He wouldn't be satisfied unless he was in charge, unless he could get God off the throne and sit on it himself. And then he could care less how hellish heaven might become as long as he got to sit on the throne. Well, that is a demonic vision. That's a demonic perspective. But that is the perspective of the left, and that is the perspective of the Democrat Party. Let's say a word of prayer in behalf of our great nation. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for the United States of America. We know all too well that we are far from a perfect nation. And we intercede in behalf of our countrymen who believe that killing unborn babies and confusing children about their gender and two men or two women claiming to be married, that these are all good and right and legitimate. Lord, we intercede in behalf of all of those who are calling wrong right and right wrong, who are putting darkness for light and light for darkness, bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, and evil for good and good for evil, who are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Lord, we intercede in their behalf and in behalf of our great nation and ask you to help us, Lord, that righteousness would reign in the United States of America, that America would continue to be a nation whose God is the Lord, that the righteous would be in authority so that the people can rejoice rather than the wicked bearing rule and having the people mourn and groan. Help us, Lord God, to turn this nation toward you. Help us here at American Family Radio, American Family Association, stand, and all those patriots, those Christian patriots on the front line who acknowledge that this nation is a gift from you and are doing their very best to preserve it. Help us all, Lord, working together to do just that, to preserve the biblical, the Judeo-Christian heritage that has been bequeathed to us by our founding fathers, to preserve the liberty and the fundamental rights that we know are a grant from you, that our government is charged with protecting, and help us to stand up for our fellow citizens who are under a vicious, ongoing assault on their spiritual well-being to try to get them to buy into evil as if it were good. Help us, Lord. Turn this nation around. You promised in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Lord, heal our land. And I pray, Father God, for all of those who are on the front line, for Tim and Walker and the Wildman family, and Lord, for all of those people who are leading organizations and ministries that are willing to speak up and willing to be heard, putting themselves at risk, often with violence and with nasty accusations and slander. Lord, strengthen them. Strengthen us all, we pray. Encourage us, Lord God, to be willing to go all the way, even if necessary, to give our lives for truth. Help us to stand up, to stand firm, no matter what the consequences might be, knowing that you are our shield and our exceeding great reward. And help us to remember when we are tired, when we are weary, when we grow fatigued of the battle, to remember Jesus' words, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And Father, so as we come to the National Day of Prayer tomorrow, thank you for a nation that recognizes the need for prayer, the need for God, the need for repentance, the need for your intervention. Please intervene in this great nation, far beyond even what's happened so far. We're grateful for the things that you've already done, and you've been very, very good to us in spite of the many sins, the national sins committed. You've been very, very good to us. Intervene in an even more magnificent way than you ever had before to pull us back from the brink, from the abyss, from the darkness that would envelop us if people listened to the wrong leaders and the wrong people. And Father, we thank you and praise you. And we pray these prayers not in the name of Jackson or in the name of Hamilton or in the name of Wildman, Lord God, or in the name of Trump, but we pray these prayers in the name of him whose name is above every name. For there is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved but the name of Jesus. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. 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 Oh God, have mercy on our beloved nation. Speaking of deceived people, there was on the news today, if you saw it, Barack Obama praising Zohran Mamdani, because, you know, he says he's the future of the Democrat Party, and you know, I think the people were shocked by that, as some seem to be. Forget that Barack Obama is a socialist too. He always has been. But Barack Obama is a great needle threader. I mean, he once said, you know, people see in me whatever they want to see. Instead of looking at him for who he really is, and who he is a far left Marxist. Remember, Obama was mentored. His father was a communist, and the man who mentored him was Frank Robinson, if I'm not mistaken. I think that was his name. But you know who I'm talking about. Guy who mentored him in Hawaii. He was a confirmed communist. His whole family were confirmed leftists. This is, and remember the church he belonged to, Jeremiah Wright's church? Jeremiah Wright was a confirmed Marxist. That wasn't a Christian church, never was. It was some kind of Marxist cult. And they just used the gospel patina to give it legitimacy in the black community, where they know church is a cultural phenomenon that people tend to resort to. But I'll tell you, unless something has dramatically changed with Jeremiah Wright, he's going to bust hell wide open because he doesn't know God. And I know people may say, well, wait a minute, how can you say that? Because by their fruit shall you know them. You don't stand up in the pulpit and say, God bless America. No, 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 no. God de America. Come on. Who says that? You pray for your nation. You want your nation to be righteous in the sight of God. And the Bible says Jesus didn't come to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved. We're not praying for God to condemn anybody. We're praying for God to save people. Because he said that's what he wants to do. That's what he came for. But that's where Barack Obama chose to make his headquarters spiritually, under Jeremiah Wright. So the anointing that Barack Obama sat under for 20 years was an anti-Christ anointing, because Jeremiah Wright was an anti-Christ herald, proclaimer. He wasn't proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was proclaiming a demonic message of racial hatred and division and Marxist nonsense. Say Louis Farrakhan was his best friend, a very, very close friend of his. And we know Barack Obama was all up in that, involved in that. Of course, they hid that from us when he was running for president. Didn't come out until after he left. And all of a sudden, pictures of Barack Obama with Louis Farrakhan started to surface. I mean, we know the games was being played there. So that is why we need to pray, because, you know, the left has got two things going for them that in the past they did not have. Now, they, on one level they did, but not like they've got today. And here are the two things. They have complete control of what? About 90%, 85% of the educational institutions and apparatus of this nation, which means they have an indoctrination machine that is churning out little Marxist automatons. That's why California is a one-party state. That's why Maine is a one-party state. That's why Vermont is a one-party state. Well, Vermont even more so, and Illinois, because they are churning out people who will be their socialist Marxist robots. And they didn't have that before because the schools weren't so thoroughly infiltrated as they are now. Not that they were great, by the way, but they weren't as bad as they are now. I went to government schools, and I didn't come out of those government schools hating my country and loving Marxism and all that. And I mean, I certainly got exposed to some of that, but it wasn't the public schools it wasn't the public school experience that was trying to get me to believe a bunch of bad stuff. There was some bad stuff that I heard, but it wasn't the drumbeat that we've got now. And the second thing they've got is they've got a bunch of big tech billionaires who are willing to put their money on the line in order to move this country in the monstrous direction these leftists have in mind. We need to be praying because that's what they don't have. They do not have the love of God, and they do not have the truth. And we have both. And we need to put the weapons of our warfare to work. And again, you all don't need to know this, but for the people who monitor us, the weapons of warfare we speak of are the biblical weapons spoken of in the scripture, which are the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the Word of God, prayer, faith, and faith in action, of course. Faith without works is dead. That means engaging and voting and supporting and contributing and doing all those things that are the responsibility of a citizen in a free constitutional republic. And if we will do these things in faith, we can't be defeated, folks. I'm convinced of it. No matter what it might look like at any given moment. Look, the number is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. When we come back, I want to make a couple comments about communist China and then open it up for your calls and comments or anything you want to bring up. 888-589-8840. This is Bishop E.W. Jackson in for Abraham Hamilton III. Back in just a moment.
Tune in Saturdays at 1:30 Central for The Compass with host Rick Beggs and iVoter Guide President Debbie Wuthnow. Each weekend, The Compass will seek to navigate the public square with faith, truth, and conviction. Rick and Debbie will keep tabs on upcoming elections and remind us of the importance of our participation in them. The Compass reminds us that God is our true north. Be listening for The Compass. Saturday afternoons at 1:30 Central on American Family Radio.
Jerusalem, oh Jerusalem, how many times I would have taken you under my wings. They had everything that was necessary for them to know Jesus and follow him, and they went their way.
I think for nations, for individuals, there is a day that you have to make the decision to respond to the Lord. And it might be that the door of opportunity after that shuts.
Exploring the Word, weekdays, 3 p.m. Central on AFR.
The Hamilton Quarter podcast and one-minute commentaries are available at AFR.net. Back to the Hamilton Quarter on American Family Radio.
Let me put a few dates before you, and then I'm going to come to the lines. The number is 888-589-8840. I put a few dates before you, and then I'm going to mention what China is doing, because we don't want to take our eyes off that ball. But again, the number is 888-589-8840 for you to raise any issue you choose. Now, I mentioned tomorrow, May 7th, National Day of Prayer. On May 17th, the president is calling for the rededication of our country to God. And think about that, how wonderful that is. I mean, now contrast that, May 7th, National Day of Prayer, May 17th, rededicating America to God, this conservatives, to some extent Republicans, but really more Christian conservatives embracing these things. On May 1st, May Day, which is a communist celebration, the Democrats and all the leftists got together to celebrate, I guess, what they called International Workers' Day, you know, which, folks, is a communist celebration. No God, no faith, no Bible, but communism. Now, therein lies the two choices for the future of our country. Let me also mention that, oh, by the way, happy Mother's Day, because I won't have an opportunity to say that to you all on Mother's Day. And that is coming up on this coming Sunday. So thank you, mothers, for all that you've done to serve your children. God bless each and every one of you. Look, China is continuing to undermine us from within. Did you hear that China's put a freeze on receiving ICE deportees, I guess you would call them, to China? They won't accept them. Well, remember that China, what we call birthright tourism, the leading participant in the whole birthright tourism debacle, corruption, was communist China. Getting Chinese people into this country, women, having them give birth here and having those people become American citizens, and then you take them back to China and you indoctrinate them and you prepare them to come back here and serve as sleepers. You know, we can never allow Iran to cause us to take our eyes off the fact that communist China is the greatest threat to the future of this country and of the world of any nation on earth, because they have now so much wealth and so much power by borrowing from capitalism. They have so much wealth and so much power, and they're using that money to buy influence around the world, and they're using it to buy influence right here in our own country. You know, this woman, Eileen Gu, the woman who chose to participate, she's an American, but she chose to participate in the Olympics under the banner of China. And when she was wearing a dress, apparently, to this big stylist art or whatever this dumb thing was. I don't pay any attention to stuff, but, you know, it's this big thing in Hollywood where they're wearing all these weird, stupid uniforms. She had a uniform, apparently, she had a dress, I guess, apparently, that produced bubbles. And they say it took 2,500 workers, slave labor in China, to make this dress. And when asked about it, she said, "Oh, I don't get into those kinds of details. I don't get it. I study." Then she gives this long dissertation about the process she has to go through in order to really verify what's going on. Sounds just like somebody called LeBron James, who, knowing that he was having his palm greased by a bunch of genocidal murdering thugs, the Communist Party of China, he couldn't bring himself to say anything against China, but he certainly was constantly happy to speak against the United States of America, his home. You know, Eileen Gu, going back and live in China and leave us alone. And all of us need to be aware. I said, when I was running for president, I said, we need a national security audit. We need to ferret out everywhere China has stuck its beak in, put its money in, is buying influence, is buying land. Everywhere China is trying to take over, we need to be aware of it. And you better believe they got a lot of pockets of power right here in the United States of America, and it needs to stop. 888-589-8840. All right, let's come to your calls. We've got Frank in Mississippi. Frank, welcome.
Hello, hey brother.
Hey brother.
Yeah, okay. When is Trump supposed to go to China? You know, but I don't think it's safe for him to go to China. They can make it look like an accident and kill that man. I know that they despise that man. They hate him.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. He need not to go. Talk about these people with this Trump derangement syndrome. Now, he was this 31-year-old boy. He was like a technician. He had the world, you know. I mean, what would possess a person to give up everything? And then that judge apologized to him for putting him in that jail or something.
You can't make this stuff up, Frank. You really can't. The judge apologizing to him. Of course, this judge is a Muslim and a confirmed leftist, at least so far. And so he's said similar things and made clear he is an anti-Trump judicial activist. So it should not surprise us. But yeah, again, you just, you know, you reach a point where you think, what more can they ever, what else could they possibly do to shock us? But apologizing to somebody who tried to assassinate the president and kill as many of his cabinet members as possible, apologizing to him because he might have been uncomfortable in jail. Well, I'll tell you, you just, thank you for the call, Frank. You know what? Actually, we got a second Frank in Kentucky. Welcome, Frank.
Hi, brother, man.
Hey.
My comment is we just had a day to celebrate Jesus' resurrection. Mm-hmm. Every year I have to try to my best to remind people stop calling that word Easter.
Yeah.
And bunnies and eggs. I despise that word. They should call it resurrection. The only way it's going to stop that craziness is the pulpits of America. It's not.
Amen.
It's not Easter. Wherever that got started, it should never got to start. Even some pastors call it Easter. It's resurrection day. So
amen.
That's my comment.
Amen. Well, Frank, thank you so much. Great to hear from you too. Look, I could not agree with you more, and I never refer to it as Easter other than when I think I'm talking to people who, if I say Resurrection Sunday, won't even know what I'm talking about. But you're right. Easter bunny, and here come Peter Cottontail hopping down the bunny trail, hippity-hoppity, Easter's on his way. I mean, really? On one level, it's just so stupid that it's funny. But on another level, you know, it really does, in my view, it denigrates Jesus Christ and the Word of God and the truth of His resurrection by deflecting people's attention toward fantasy. So I could not agree with you more. I don't refer to it as Easter. Easter, by the way, Easter's not in the Bible. The word that was translated Easter is the word Passover that in the old King James Version. In the newer translations, they put the word Passover because remember the early Christians were Jews who understood that the Passover was in fact pointing the way toward the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so they referred to it still as Passover, but never referred to it as Easter. I mean, that didn't come along until much, much later when people started thinking, again, trying to appropriate the pagan holidays and somehow bring them into Christianity. I don't even know what people were thinking of to come up with that, but they did. 888-589-8840 is the number. Let's go to Sandra in North Carolina. Sandra, welcome.
Hi, how you doing?
I am blessed. How are you?
All right. What I want to discuss is what you were talking about Monday about being scammed online. This recently happened to me, and it's sad because he was a soldier, and he's pretending to be a soldier stranded in Syria, I think it is. And he talked to me for about 2 weeks. He seemed like he was real, and then all of a sudden he got deployed, and then he's going to ask, he needed, $500 to get back. And, you know, I dated 2 soldiers at Fort Bragg, so I know that wasn't true. And my dad was in the Army, because I know the Army would never leave the military. No branches of the military would ever leave any of their soldiers behind, including dead bodies. So I just want people to be aware of these people scamming. But the sad thing is he was actually in the Army, because I looked it up. This lady sent me something with some check and see. And he was actually in the Army, but he is doing this. And is really sad, you know, that they do stuff like this.
Well, Sandra, thank you for the call. He should be put in jail. And, you know, again, we want to help our military. We want to support them in every way we can. If somebody to use that as a way of scamming us, to me, is beneath contempt. It really is disgusting. But Sandra's right. Beware, because they are becoming more and more sophisticated. I have gotten things from my bank that weren't really from my bank, but they look very authentic. I've gotten things from other institutions with which I was associated, and they looked real and looked authentic, but they weren't. I even got a plea from a friend of mine one time, which means my email had been hacked. A friend of mine told me he was stranded in Europe and had had his wallet stolen. I was trying to put the money together to get back home. And I knew this friend, of course, it's a friend. I knew the person and knew the email address. And I knew that was his email address, but it wasn't. It was very, very close. Close enough that if you didn't really look carefully, you wouldn't notice that there was one small difference. So, yeah, these people are diabolical. You know, we often say, if these people spent as much time trying to figure out how to do something good, there's no telling what they could accomplish. So thank you for the call, and thank you for the heads up, Sandra. And my honor and appreciation to all the legitimate veterans out there. I'm a veteran. All the legitimate military people out there in active duty serving our country honorably. Thank you. And we are not going to smear you because of this bad apple who is using his military service as a way of trying to scam people. Let's go to Mike in West Virginia. Mike, welcome.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm visualizing a building with a sign on the door that says, closed due to lack of interest. Let that be the future of the Democratic in name only party.
Okay. Okay. Closed due to lack of interest. Okay. And the lack of interest is on whose part? The American people's part?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. Okay, Mike. Well, listen, a close due to lack of interest or close due to the destructive impulses of the people who once occupied this building, however it happens, I would be elated for it to happen. So, Mike, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate the image. Let's see. I think we've got time to get John in here. John of Alabama, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Bishop. I was thinking about some of the different states that are like New York with Zoran Mondani and some of these leftist mayors and governors. You know, a lot of people are moving out of these states, and you know, they feel like they're one-upping them because, hey, you know, we're taking our money and we're taking all of the resources out of there, and you know, I kind of think that that's what they want to do. And so that they can, you know, set their own set up to where they just take on it, whether it's state or run, hospitals. Yeah, I just kind of wondering what your thoughts are as far as what do you think about it?
All right, John. Well, listen, thank you for the call. You're going to be the last one, and that's going to do it for today. I would say, I just hope that these people leaving these states don't come with their leftist ideas to red states. Or if they come and accept that these states are much, much better governed by better principles and be glad about that rather than trying to change it. All right, folks, you know what to do. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.